As State Representative Marty Walsh and Boston City Councilor John Connolly move on to November after winning yesterday's preliminary election, WBUR is visiting the city's neighborhoods, neighborhood by neighborhood, to find out what challenges they face and what voters want in a new mayor. Our series is called Boston Mayoral Race, Square by Square, and in today's story, produced by WBUR's Lynn Joliker, Sasha Pfeiffer takes us to Copley Square and the Back Bay.
$3. It's a summery Friday afternoon in Copley Square, and the good eats at the twice-weekly farmer's market are selling fast.
We have red peppers and tomatoes and arugula.
The beauty and vibrancy of this area, with historic Trinity Church on one side of the plaza and the grand Boston Public Library on the other, are why Melissa Shear loves it here. As she stocks up on fresh produce, she says she hopes the next mayor of Boston will bring lively scenes like this to other parts of the city, too.
They need to be like Mayor Menino and want to foster community things like he has, like the farmers market and the green space in the city.
Shear is a real estate agent who lives and works in the area, so she's well aware of the major surge in development happening downtown. She's seeing bidding wars on the properties she sells and knows plenty of people are getting priced out.
It's an exciting city, and it's really supply and demand. I don't think there's any way to hold back the prices in Boston.
But the same qualities that make the Back Bay such a desirable place pose major challenges to Boston's next mayor.
Brownstones are actually some of the very first buildings built here in the Back Bay.
Copley Square is a must-see stop on every tourist itinerary. An oasis of open space and greenery ringed by a bustling hub of dining, retail, business, and historic architecture. Ever since April 15th, Copley has also had notoriety.
Now, folks, we are turning onto Boylston Street here, the last half mile of the Boston Marathon. That's
tour guides like Patrick Naughton of Upper Deck Trolley Tours now include the marathon bombing site in their circuits. The Copley area has bounced back from the attack. But all the construction on tap has some nearby residents worried about changes to the skyline.
We're not anti-developer, but the developers don't have the same sense of what's important.
Howard Kassler is chairman of the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay. He's one of the many retirees who've left the suburbs for Boston in recent years. He fears more tall buildings will mean less sun and more wind tunnels, which Copley Square is already infamous for.
Eventually, you'll have the square in shadow most of the time. And that's a quality of life issue, but it's also a safety issue in the winter with icy conditions.
The city, I believe, has done a good job striking the balance of allowing some shadow, but not too much, especially in parks.
Meg Meinzer-Cohen, the president of the business-centric Back Bay Association, says in the 1960s, the city identified a stretch from the Fenway to Downtown Crossing known as the High Spine. It's where a string of tall towers can be built. But she says the city also promised to preserve the Back Bay Architectural District, home to historic brownstones.
Since there is so much area that's protected, I think that it's important for us to build tall buildings along the Orange Line, the Green Line, the commuter rail. It's a way to leverage the public transportation systems for the betterment of many families and individuals.
But living in this area is way beyond reach for the women who spend their days at 67 Newbury Street.
We have a request for a veggie plate.
Yes.
This is the Women's Lunch Place, a daytime shelter housed in a church basement. Up to 200 women a day come here for meals and social services. One of them is 51-year-old Lisa Jenkins.
Lisa, L-I-S-A. Middle name Marie. No, I'm not Presley's daughter. If I was, you think I'd be here.
Jenkins works part-time as a personal care attendant and lives in a rooming house in Jamaica Plain. But she's been homeless and unemployed. She wants Boston's next mayor to create a lot more affordable housing and give first dibs to people on public housing waiting lists. She knows many people languishing there.
They be crying, they be discouraged. And these women, some of them are so educated, you know, but they just ran on hard times. Let them come back. Let them rejuvenate themselves.
Jenkins also wants the new mayor to create more jobs for young people.
If you don't give them a start, they can't go nowhere. They can't further themselves. Give the younger generation a chance.
That the women's lunch place even exists here shows what a study in contrast the Back Bay is. Its director, Elizabeth Keeley, recently introduced herself to the manager of a nearby high-end fashion boutique who didn't even know the shelter was there.
And it demonstrates the great divide in our country, where you can go next door and spend $10,000 on a coat. And we have women here who, you know, we have to beg, borrow, and steal to find coats for them.
The shelter works hard to be a good neighbor on Newbury Street. But Paul Tormey says the city isn't working hard enough to showcase the Copley Square area.
There's too much vagrancy.
Tormey is general manager of the Fairmont Copley Plaza Hotel, and he calls Copley Square his little front yard. He wants the next mayor to cut down on panhandling and increase litter cleanup.
Many of our customers and visitors to the city, whether they're here for doing business or staying in our hotels, come across things that you don't come across in a lot of American cities today, whether it's coming out of diesel fumes out of the Back Bay train station and tripping over two people and having to deal with what you deal with does not represent the city of Boston as well as it could.
A few blocks away, at this city playground at the corner of Clarendon Street and Comm Ave, the neighborhood feels pretty perfect to some residents. Dahlia Nasser, a young mom, does have a cleanliness pet peeve.
Yes, dog bags along Comm Ave, because oftentimes people find themselves without it, and I've seen the communities that have them, it seems like they're cleaner.
The lack of major complaints by many Back Bay residents shows what a success story this area largely is.
Is there something I can help you find?
Jim Hill and his wife own the store Kitchenwares on Newbury Street.
We find basically that the city pretty much works.
But he's exasperated by Boston's permitting process, a common gripe among local merchants.
You shouldn't need 91 permits to do anything short of the big dig. You have to have a permit to have a television in your store, because it's considered entertainment. And there are lots of rules like that that have become part of the bureaucracy of the city we know. A fresh administration brings a fresh view.
Back in Copley Square, amid the duck boat tours, city buses, and ambulance sirens, there's one surprisingly serene place, the back veranda of Trinity Church, with its gurgling fountain and pretty garden. Here, we meet Louise Burnham Packard, director of the Trinity Boston Foundation. She describes Copley Square as Boston's living room, but for some people, it's just home.
This porch has homeless people who sleep on it at night, and the facility staff in the morning cleans up needles and knives. And we had a shooting on Boylston in August, a murder. One of our facilities staff members was attacked.
Burnham Packard hopes a new administration will do more of the type of work her foundation does, like mentoring kids.
I think the Copley hope is that we'll have a mayor who is not dividing us but uniting us.
It's her hope that the next mayor addresses the concerns of both the fortunate and the less privileged, the white-collar corporate community and the inner city.
To be both pro-business and pro-working class, to be pro-thriving neighborhoods like Copley Square and pro-Mattapan, Dorchester, Roxbury, I think that's at the heart of what this next chapter of Boston needs to be.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.